this Torah portion, as we've been going through, the books. We're in Leviticus now, which is the whole book is all about the priests. It's all about the Levites. And it's all about their service in the tabernacle. At that time, they had the tabernacle. Later on, Israel had the temple. And I'm just going to speak for a couple of minutes here because we're not dismissing the kids today. I'm going to do a very short message, as I said, because we want everybody to be in for our Purim spiel. So I'm just going to say a couple of words about the portion today. It'll probably turn into a couple of more because I am a rabbi and, you know, we love to talk. So you may have to take the hook and get me out of here. But anyway, the portion today talks about a few things. It discusses the different types of sacrifices, the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering. It talks about an ordination offering for the priests, and of course, the peace offering. Then we have a section in the Torah portion where it talks about the priests and their actual ordination. This is where they've been given the proper credentials, they've been given the proper authority by the Lord through Moses to do their duties at the tabernacle. And we know they had very important duties, administering the sacrifices, handling all of the things of the Lord there in the tabernacle. And I want to talk, though, about a couple of verses right at the beginning of the Torah portion, just for a few minutes. Turn with me to Leviticus 6, 1 through 7. I'm going to read all seven verses, and then I want to talk about this sequence here, this text today. Leviticus 6, 1 through 7. If the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a manner or deposit of security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, if any of all these things, or all these things the people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt, and will restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by oppression, or the deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full, and shall add a fifth to it, and give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent, for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do and thereby become guilty." Now, these are an interesting set of verses right here in this portion of Leviticus. And we know that much of the Torah centers around the concept and the idea of the way we treat each other, man to man, person to person, right? This passage is all about offenses and things that you do against someone else. So it's really relating to man and man. In fact, the great Jewish sage Hillel, he said this once, "That which is despicable to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the whole Torah, and the rest is commentary. Go and learn it." So when Hillel was asked, how do you boil down, what's the essence of the Torah? That's the comments that he gave. So we know when these portions speak about the relationship between man and man, or people and people, we know what he said. We also know what Yeshua the Messiah said. When he is talking about what the greatest commandments are, he points to what is referred to today as the golden rule, right? Do unto others as they would do unto you. Same concept, same thing. And Yeshua says this is one of the greatest commandments, besides loving God with all of your heart, strength, soul, and mind, loving your neighbor as yourself. So this is a big topic, okay? And this passage is a short one, but it's a great lesson for us about a model of how to deal with offenses between people. So let's start again, Leviticus 6:1. We're just going to go through it quickly. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a manner of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor." Now there's four things that I want to bring out today about this passage and about this whole concept. But the first one is, if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord, that's what it first says. But here's the thing. We're talking about an offense between people, and yet it first says, if anyone commits a breach of faith against the Lord. So even though the text is about the relationship between people, it starts off with, if someone has committed a breach of faith against the Lord. And what do we take from this? Any sin between people, if someone commits a sin against someone else, aren't they really committing it against the Lord ultimately? Isn't that really the essence of what they're doing? They're really sinning against the Lord himself. The first step after you sin is that you need to recognize that you sinned. There has to be an awareness if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith. You have to be aware, because all sin is a violation between man and God, even if it's a sin man to man. We have to understand that. When King David sinned by taking Bathsheba, remember when he did that? Remember that whole saga? He took Bathsheba as his wife, and he had her husband, her current husband, killed. That's not a little sin, that's a big sin. And that's a sin between David and Bathsheba and the husband, right? Between people. But this is what David says when he commits that sin and he realizes, when he has awareness of that sin. Psalm 51, verse 4. He says this, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." King David was talking about God in that particular passage. He recognized that even though he sinned against Bathsheba and her husband, he really sinned against the Lord. So that's the first thing. All sin is really sin against the Lord. David recognized that this was a sin against the Lord. And the wording in Leviticus 6 is very interesting. If you commit a breach of faith, that's what it says, breach of faith. Sinning is breaking faith with the Lord. It's not having enough faith in God, but putting your faith in something else or choosing another thing besides God. That's the essence of sin. And this is what we're talking about. It's a breach of faith. And of course, it says if in the English, but really, we know that sin is a choice many times. But you know what? We sin all the time, whether we sometimes want to or not. So it's really not a question of if for us. It's a question of when. And we often sin. Our nature is a sinful nature, and it's scarred by the sin of Adam and Eve. And when we sin not only against other people, but we're also sinning against the Lord. That's number one. The second step, after you're aware of the fact that you're sinning against God and against people, the next step is you have to own the sin, right? It's not enough to be aware. Oh, okay, I messed up. You have to own that. Leviticus 6:4. We'll go back to our text today. If he has sinned and realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or the deposit that was committed to him or the lost thing that he found, you have to own the fact that you sinned. You can't just be aware of it and then just go on your merry way. You have to own it, okay? Many times, what happens when we sin? We tend to say, well, okay, I sinned, but the other guy sinned even worse than me. Did you see what he did? Anybody have kids in here? So-and-so, you did something wrong. Yeah, but she did it worse than me. She started it. It really wasn't my fault, right? We tend to blame it on somebody else. We don't own our sin many times. We don't want to own it. And why don't we want to own it? Because it doesn't feel good when we sin. And we feel bad about ourselves, or we understand that we did something wrong. We don't want to feel that way. We just want to be happy all the time. But you know what? When we sin, not if, but when we sin, we do need to own that sin. We need to own that sin and recognize that we messed it up. David was a great man of God, but he was a terrible sinner. But one of the things that differentiates him from the other terrible sinners in the Bible is he owned his sin. Psalm 51, let's go back there. Verse 3, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Do you and I say that when we sin? Or do we tend to run away and not want to deal with the sin or pawn it off on somebody else? King David didn't do that. He could have said, "I got this really hard country to run. You know, people are giving me problems all the time, got a lot of service in my life. I'm kind of justified if I did a little thing here and there." He didn't say that. He said, my sin is ever before me. He acknowledged it and he owned it before the Lord. But there's more. The Torah doesn't stop there. Go back to Leviticus 6. Now we're going to get to the third point. We can't just stop with awareness and ownership. Leviticus 6, 5 and 6. For anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full and shall add a fifth to it and give it to him whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock or its equivalent for a guilt offering. You got to be aware of your sin. You got to own your sin. But there's more. You got to take action. You've got to restore. You've got to go give it back. You've got to go pay a fifth more than that. You've got to take action. You can't just say, okay, I realize I sinned. Now let's move on. You can't do that. You've got to make restitution. You got to take action about it. The people had to do what? They had to go to the priest. They had to make the restitution. They had to restore the item stolen and add a fifth to it. And you've heard this the phrase, talk is cheap, right? Talk is very cheap. We talk all day, even in the body of Messiah. Oh, well, we should do this, and I need to do this. But do we do it? Do we really take the action to restore? Do you really put your money where your mouth is? And after all those things, awareness, ownership, even taking action, then the final step happens. And this is the fun step, right? The atonement, the canceling out of the sin. One more time, Leviticus 6, verse 7 now, the last verse in our text. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that he may do and thereby become guilty. Okay? Listen, the Bible is all full of instances of sin and forgiveness and atonement. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. We talk about it a lot in the New Testament, but it's right there in the Torah as well. And this whole idea of atonement is the satisfaction or reparation for a wrong or injury. Do you know if you go to the state of Israel and you drive around, because they have a really great bus system, right? If you ever drive around and you go to Jerusalem and you go take a tour somewhere, you're always in one of these buses. And when I lived there, what struck me always was these buses had the little Mercedes logo on them. Well, Mercedes isn't Israeli. Mercedes is what country? From what country? Germany. And it's because they have all these beautiful buses, these Mercedes buses, and it's all because the state of Germany continues to pay reparations to the state of Israel because of the Holocaust. It's not enough to acknowledge and own your sin. You have got to take action to restore that which has been destroyed. Okay, and that's just one example of that. Okay, so after you do all that, then atonement can be made. Then you've got the satisfaction or reparation for a wrong or injury. But it only can be after those three steps. So the passage is really a great tool for us today, right? To properly deal with the transgression. And here's the thing. We all sin today just like they sinned back then. We have to be aware of it. We have to own it. And we have to take action. And then we'll see the atonement. So if we translate this into our spiritual lives, when we sin, we have to, of course, become aware that we sinned. That's the first step, right? Then we have to own it. We have to say, you know what? I sinned. I'm not going to pawn it off on somebody else. I'm not going to blame somebody else. I'm going to own that sin. And we have to take action, okay? And here's the thing. The action that we take does produce the atonement, but it's not us doing the action so that we get the atonement, because we can't save ourselves from the terrible sins that you and I do every single day. We should die because of our sins. But God in his mercy in the Old Testament, in the Torah, he gave us animals to die instead of us, and the blood would atone for the sins. Okay? Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? We can't atone for our sins today, just like we couldn't atone for our sins back then. So we had to have that lamb, that animal that had to die, right? And who is that lamb for us? It's Yeshua. Yeshua steps in. He dies for our sins so that we may have atonement. He's doing the action for us so that we can be cleared of our wrongs. We can be forgiven of our sins. But there is one small action that we do need to take, okay? And it's found, if you go into go to Mark 2:5. This is the last verse today, and then we'll be done. And this is really important because this brings us back to that Torah portion. We need to recognize and own our sin. Recognize that Yeshua takes the action. But here's the thing. There's one thing we need to do. Mark 2:5. And when Yeshua saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, this is one of many verses where Yeshua is forgiving somebody of their sins. But what is the one ingredient you need for that atonement? Faith. The action we need to take is faith. Now, if you remember how the passage started out in the Torah, the passage started out as, if you commit a breach of faith with God. So the sin is breaching faith with God. And what repairs, what brings you back for atonement is faith in God. You've got to restore your faith in God. And by faith in believing Yeshua died for our sins, and by faith in following after him, we shall be saved. We shall have atonement for our sins. It all is about faith. It was about faith in the Torah, and it's about faith today. Yeshua saw their faith, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." So faith is the key that unlocks the atonement for us. We have to recognize and own those sins, know that he paid the price for us, and have faith in him, and then the atonement will happen for each and every one of our lives. Hallelujah.